What's up, everyone? This is a pre-show insert and a weird request for a way to help the show if you'd like to. If there is anything in this show that you find clippable enough to send to No Agenda, please let me know and I'll clip it, or you can clip it if you want, but I'm happy to clip it as well. I don't always know myself until I get the feedback from you guys, and I know that I rant sometimes, so it may not be clippable, but I think I offer a different perspective on the subject in this show than many are offering. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the show. Why I'm against most protest. This is the Propaganda Report. I am Brad Binkley doing an early morning show today, trying to get as much content in this week as my schedule permits. I will be a guest tonight on the No Way Jose podcast with Tower Gang Jose. That's going to be at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So check that out. Looking forward to it. If you don't check it out, not going to be posting any more videos of me playing basketball with my dog on X. That's not a threat. That is merely a promise. So be sure and check that out. Also on Thursday, creator of the I Believe in Bigfoot podcast, Kelly Lachman, will be joining Ian and I live at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to discuss his new documentary, I Believe in Bigfoot, and he's going to discuss how he went from a casual observer to a believer based on firsthand interviews and his own experiences searching for Bigfoot. And as you know, I'm a skeptic of most things. So I'm also open-minded, and I'm interested to hear the journey that Kelly has gone on and the compelling story he has to tell. So check that out. It'll be a fun change of pace from politics. Okay, today I want to talk about these ongoing protests going on across the country about Israel and Gaza, except I'm going to talk about them from a little bit of a different angle, give a bit of a different take than what people have been talking about. And I'm going to elaborate on something that I've talked about a number of times on here, which is why I do not like most protest. I don't like them. Regardless of the issue that's being protested, I do not like the modern form of protest. And I'll tell you why. It's because they are one of three things, basically. They're a setup, like January 6th was. I said multiple times on this show, prior to January 6th, don't go to January 6th. It's a setup. The FBI will arrest you. I played clips of me saying that recently, clips from before January 6th, because to me it was obvious because I had watched all of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Brookings Institute. I had read the entrapment documents, which, you know, they didn't call all of them entrapment, but all of the people who had been arrested because the FBI set them up. It was obvious to me what was going to happen. And that is what I believe many of these protests are. Now, on the other side of it, well, let me go to number two. Number two is just they all seem astroturfed. And if they're not astroturfed, they don't get any attention. So that's another reason I don't like them. A third reason, which is most relevant to what's going on right now across America, is that these protests are to me like the NFL combine for community organizers. The organizing games, if you will. It's a competition between up-and-coming or aspiring organizers to see who is the best and the brightest at organizing the most amount of potential voters and compelling them, young voters, and compelling these young voters to engaging in political combat that's against their own best interest over an issue that they know nothing about. Because if you can get a bunch of students who are voting age to go fight police officers on campus over something they haven't asked a question about, let alone thought about for 5 seconds, you can get those students to vote Democrat. Now, I know that a lot of people might say, well, they're calling Joe Biden Genocide Joe. Yeah, they are. But I can assure you that none of these people protesting right now are going to be voting Republican or Libertarian. Maybe Green Party, if there's a Green Party candidate. What's most likely to happen is they don't vote at all. Or, as we get closer to the election, another more skilled organizer swoops in, like Stacey Abrams. She is assigned to this political weapon that's been organized during these protests. And she directs them to the Democrat Party vote by explaining to them why, yes, we understand all the problems going on, but I, as a black woman who would be a great linebacker in the NFL or who could play a great DEI cast of the Kingpin character, I am telling you, you should vote Democrat anyway, despite all of that, and direct all of those votes to the Democrat Party. That is, unless everything that's going on right now isn't part, which this is obviously a psyop, isn't part of a psyop to make sure that Joe Biden loses. I don't know the answer to that question. I just know how the model of organizing works, and that is part of why I don't like what's going on right now. And it's not about the issue for me. It's about the same con that they use, regardless of the issue. What's up, Ian? Ian watching on his way to work this morning, I'm guessing. They want, that's what they used for Bernie in 2016. Yeah, totally. Yeah, so how did the Bernie Sanders, that's a great example, Ian, thank you. The Bernie Sanders voters should have been pissed off that he got screwed over, yet they still voted Democrat anyway because they had somebody swoop in and they just kind of handed off this little organizational block of idiots to say, well, here's why it's okay, because it's Satan, it's Hitler on the other side. Now, these organizers, the Linda Sarsours of the world, the Stacey Abrams, the AOCs, the Barack Obamas, they're never the ones on the front lines fighting with police officers on these campuses. They're the ones who are pulling the strings from behind the curtains, telling these idiots to go put their bodies on the lines. I've played clips of Linda Sarsour literally telling these activists during these activist training sessions, it's up to you to put your body on the line. You have to put your body on the line. Because they can't ask questions either, but they have to do it because they have to show, they have to find the ones that feel that this issue is more than important, this issue they know nothing about, than their own personal well-being. And all of those names that I just mentioned, this is how they got to where they are today, is by being the best at organizing the youngest and the stupidest of us, yet the most enthusiastic among us, to do these things that they don't even have any idea about what they're doing. Because whoever's best at doing that is not only good at directing a huge number of votes in any direction, they're also in charge of, or wielding, if you will, an organizational weapon, as it was referred to when the Bolsheviks did it, that can be used against their political opponents, not just for the issue at hand, but for any issue they want that arises or that they manufacture in the future. That's why these protests are never just about one thing. Do you ever notice that? It's not just ever about Gaza and Israel. It's always, we stand with Gaza and Israel and against climate change. Or we stand with Gaza and the Palestinians and against climate change. Or, and we're stopping Cop City. And I can tell you that the ones at Emory University, the ones that organized the protest at Emory University, were the Cop City protesters, which have been protesting the development of the Atlanta Police Center, Training Center, for the past couple of years. I know because I signed up for their emails because I wanted to see what they're doing about a year ago. And I got insider information emails that was the Cop City people, protesters, that changed their name of their website and their group to, I think it was, what was it? Camp Atlanta, Camp ATL is what it was. And they said what they were doing. And so it was outside organizers that go in and they rope in the students, and the outside organizers hide behind the students. So when some of the students also get arrested, it can be a big deal made about it. More on that in a minute. It's always a combination of issues, because it's like an omnibus bill of issues. If you're for one, you got to be for all of them. So, and that means the next one that the organizer demands that you go risk your future over organizing. They rope these masses of idiots that are going to ruin their future from one con to the next con by convincing them that they're racist if they don't go along with the next one. They leverage the power they earn, the organizers do, from one issue to the next. That's how they do it. This is how our future politicians are chosen. And you can see, I mean, we had a president organizer. We had Hillary Clinton, who studied under Saul Alinsky as well. Stacey Abrams, this is how she cut her teeth. It's how AOC, I mean, we could run down the list of the politicians right now that did that. And if an organizer, I guess maybe a way to look at this, because this is what they're doing. They're looking to see who's the best at doing this right now and who's the worst at doing it, who's not going to get drafted. This is why I see it as an NFL draft combine for organizers who can get a rabid mob of idiots to ruin their future for something they don't know anything about. That is who you want to be a politician if you are a big donor. What would be someone who's bad at doing that? All right. If an organizer organizes a protest that's peaceful, that has no conflict with police and students, that leads to no arrest of anyone, that gets no media attention, well, that's a shitty organizer. That's a bad organizer. That's a useless organizer to the big political donors. And there was a protest here in Georgia that did just that. That respected everybody's First Amendment rights. The police did. The students got to express their First Amendment right. Nobody got tasered. Nobody got kneecapped in the neck. Nobody got rubber bullets up the ass. Everybody protested. They disagreed, some of them. But there was nothing. There was no blood was shed. And everybody just went home. This is a shitty organizer who's not getting drafted. Because that's not the point. They don't care about the issues. The organizer's goal to get drafted by the big donors to become the next big politician in the organizational competition are going to create the maximum amount of conflict. So they're going to organize as many young people as they can in a circumstance who are as enthusiastic and will do whatever to defend their turf. And they're going to put them in as close proximity with police in a setting that is most likely to make sure those police are there and that conflict happens. Emory University, downtown Atlanta, a private university where it's up to the school because that's trespassing. If it happens on a public university, it's a little different. Now, I know it has happened on public universities in more volatile areas, but Emory University was perfect for conflict because they've used Emory University before for Cop City protests. They knew it would work. They knew they could bait them into calling the cops, and they knew they could get the cops there. If you're an organizer who wants to get drafted and go up the ladder, you want to see as many of your protesters, your activists that you've conned, getting kneed in the neck, getting their ass whipped, and getting dragged off and arrested on the front pages of the newspaper. If you're not seeing that happen, then you have failed as an organizer, and you should go home and blow yourself, because nobody's going to be blowing you on the secret cameras in Congress. No gay sex for you in the future, because your political career is over. You want to ruin the lives of as many protesters as you can, while also reserving their trust and loyalty so they'll do whatever you tell them in the future. This is the mark of a good political organizer. And this is what all of this stuff is about. It's not about the issue. The issue is merely demonstrates the flexibility of the organizer. Yeah, give me whatever issue you can give me. It doesn't matter. I can organize people around the grievance, the luxury grievance of that group gets better blowjobs than we do. We demand equality. I can cause a riot in this country over that if you want me to. That's a good political organizer. That's someone who's going to get elected. That's someone who's getting drafted by the big donors. And to give you an example of what I mean, you take Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams, well, she started off early. She was practicing these organizing things from when she was literally 6 and 7 years old. Her parents were organizers, Black Panthers, the Students for Nonviolent, whatever, which was an offshoot of the Black Panthers, which were very violent. She used to perform for prisoners. She's been doing this since she could walk. So she did a great job when she was at Spelman College as a freshman in 1992 of organizing. I can even put this on the screen here. If I can, let's see if I got that. I might be able to show you guys some of this. All right, yeah. Stacey Abrams here. You know, I love talking about Stacey Abrams. She'd be my number one fantasy pick in the NFL draft. Thank you. I appreciate that, Quantum. So, Stacey Abrams, when she was at Spelman, she organized the HBCU students in the area. There's a bunch of HBCU schools in Atlanta in that same general block, and Spelman is one of them. And This was right after the Rodney King riots, and this launched her political career. And she even claimed at the time to be the one who was the rabble-rouser of these riots. Well, some called them riots, some called them protests. But she lays out exactly how she did it. I've done it on a number of shows. I won't go into all the details of it. But she still today claims to be the rabble-rouser of those Spelman and HBCU area protests that happened. And these protests were in response to a bunch of white police officers beating the hell on camera of a black guy that got arrested. Not going into the details of the trial, but that is what they witnessed. So that was what got everybody upset, you would think. Yet the mob that Stacey Abrams organized ended up going right down the street to the nearest Korean grocery store, looting it, and setting it on fire. A Korean grocery store that was the only non-black business in the vicinity at the time that had been there like 28 years. And not only did they burn down the grocery store, they burned down and looted, well, didn't loot, but they burned down the apartment on top of the grocery store where the family lived, causing, before they were able to escape with police help safely, just escaped with their lives, the family that lived there had to flee to the roof of the building. And there are famous images of that area showing all of these people from the HBCU schools organized by Stacey, bragged about it, throwing stuff up at them. And the Korean family, which was an old man, woman, and his daughters, throwing stuff down. They had to bring police in through helicopters to drop gas, and they had to go in V format to spread everybody to save the state. This is what Stacey Abrams cut her teeth organizing, and she bragged about being the rabble rouser of. And what did the dumb young students? Because when I say dumb young, I think every single human, myself included, when we're between the ages of 18 and like 26, we think that we are the smartest that we're ever going to be in our lives. Yet the reality is that we are the dumbest that we're ever going to be in our lives. So we can be compelled into doing stupid things that could have a really negative effect on our future. So you escape those years unscathed, and you're going to be okay. But this is why they're targeted by organizers. And so what did all of these people, these fellow students of Stacey's, what was their reward for being led by her? Well, for many of them, they got in physical confrontations with police officers and arrested. And some of them probably kicked out of school. Their futures damaged. Meanwhile, what did Stacey get for her efforts? Because she didn't do this on the front lines. She did this from Spelman, partly in her dorm room, by calling and manipulating the news people at the time. She knew exactly what she was doing. I can go into this whole story another time if you want to hear it, but it really is pretty extraordinary, her skill and her level of manipulation of these people. But what she got was Stacey Abrams was rewarded by, after her friends got arrested, she became an intern, or she got a job in the Atlanta mayor's office at the time, which was a Democrat mayor. And then she, hold on, make sure I get all the Stacey. All right. Okay, yeah. So Stacey, she got an appearance on Oprah is what she got in the immediate aftermath. She made an appearance on Oprah, got a job in the Atlanta mayor's office. She became a published author as part of a Ford Foundation project. She got a sponsorship to continue fundraising Freaknik, to keep Freaknik alive. Like, I think $20,000 she was able to achieve. I didn't even put this on screen. This is part of it right here. Stacey down here. You see down here, it talks about the Ford Foundation thing. And she also became an intern on a couple of congressional campaigns. And she spoke at the 30th anniversary of the March on Washington. These are all things that Stacey got because of her work organizing dumb mobs during the Rodney King riots who were mad at white people to go destroy a Korean-owned grocery store. This is what I'm talking. This is why I don't like these things, because this is what they always do. And when you look at the backstories of many of our politicians today, you see a similar pattern. They don't care about solving the issues. They just care about organizing people around them. And They depend on these issues to continue, actually. If they got rid of them, these would just be worthless people because their whole skill level is just screwing with people. It's ridiculous. Like, if there was a solution offered tomorrow that was acceptable for the Israel-Gaza thing, which, we might be beyond that, but if there was a ceasefire, 3 months from now, the same organizers would be organizing the same people around a slightly different issue. That's how they always do it. And another example of that is if you look at the Cop City issue. If you're not from Atlanta, the Stop Cop City issue, maybe, which I might have mentioned this earlier, but to elaborate, it was the protesters say that Cop City is an expansion of the police state and a destruction of the environment. So it's that, double omnibus issue. It's police state and climate change. Hard to argue an expansion of the police state since the recruitment rates across the country have gone down. And in Atlanta specifically, after George Floyd, Summer of Love 2020, nobody wants to be a cop. Who would? There's problem with, cops from different cities, precincts actually going and poaching police officers from other cities. Atlanta got some shit for trying to do that with St. Louis recently. So that's a little bit of a difficult one to argue, but that is what they argue. The other end of it is the Atlanta Police Center is what the other side calls it. And by the way, it's a Democrat mayor in Atlanta who is behind all of this. Is they say that the Atlanta Police Center is a response to the demands of the protesters, the organizers during the George Floyd riots. And they met the demand. They wanted more training. They wanted a seat at the table to decide what the new police officers learned. They wanted diversity in the police force. They wanted the cops to go to anti-racist training. All of that, and they're doing all of that with the Atlanta Police Center. Now, they're doing other stuff as well, which is what the other side is going to argue. But the point is, it's a never-ending back and forth. Nobody ever wants the thing solved. As soon as they solve them, they move the goalpost. And so this is why I see all these protests going on across these colleges, and I'm like, these kids don't know what's going on. They haven't looked into the issue. I think what's going on over in Israel and Gaza, I think it's awful. I also think I don't know what's going on over there. I don't know what's truth from fiction. And I think everybody is lying to me about it. And I'm not going to go over there personally because I read a top 10 list about what are the top 10 travel destinations over the summer, according to Delta, and Israel and Gaza didn't make the top 10. So I won't be going over there. I don't trust any of it. And with all of these protests being forced down my throat that are benefiting only those in power, it pisses me off. So when you look at this, what I'm saying is, it benefits the organizers and the handlers trying to pick the next best politician based on who does the best organizing. Benefits them that way. They don't care about the issues. And then it benefits the other side of it, the politicians who want to say, hey, look, they're destroying the country. We need to take away their free speech rights. We need to expand the police, estate. So both sides get to just screw us all over. And the organizers don't care about free speech either. So I get the free speech arguments people make, and I'm not saying, I don't think protests should be banned at all. I don't mean that at all. What I'm saying is I don't trust what we're seeing because I don't believe it's real. I believe it's a con by both sides to divide and rule us. And I think the solution for it is, this is a tough solution, but get smarter, younger people. Maybe they are getting smarter by not going to these stupid universities that make them stupid during this period of their lives. You need to be wiser and recognize the people who are telling you to go on the front lines do not have your best interest in mind. They do not care. They want you to go get arrested because they need you to. They will not succeed unless a police officer comes there and beats your face in until it's black and blue. They want the cop there just as much as anybody on the other side does. And that's a guarantee. And I can show you that that's a guarantee. And so does the media. Because as I said earlier, first, I don't know where I was going with that. I'll just go back to what I was going to say. I had another point I want to make, but I'll get back to it. Let me show you, get Stacey Abrams off of here. This is an article from the AJC yesterday. I cannot stand the AJC, man. They used to be good, and I used to like them. I did, but they are such sellouts now. And what they're doing is it's not helping. It's not helping anyone except maybe lining their pockets. Or it bleeds, it leads, you know? I guess that helps line their pockets as well. This is an article in the AJC yesterday. Campus protest. What happened Monday at Emory, UGA, Morehouse, and Georgia Southern? So it's doing an overview of the protest. And dozens of pro-Palestinian protesters chant as they cross the iconic arch at the University of Georgia. And the article starts off by saying protests against the Israel-Hamas war continued this week on college campuses across the U.S., including here in Georgia. Here's a quick look at what happened on Monday. And then they detail what happened at Emory and their description of what happened at Emory. And this is yesterday. Student protesters turned out for the fifth day of Metro Atlanta at the Metro Atlanta campus, gathering on the quad where law enforcement officers arrested some of the demonstrators on Thursday. On Monday morning, Emory University President George L. Finvez apologized to college community and to the college community in a message for mischaracterizing those on the first day as outside protesters. Now, those on the first day were outside protesters. It was organized by outside organizers who sent in outside protesters to rope in the college students that they could hide behind so that when they got arrested, it would inevitably rope in the college students with them, which would cause this very reaction. This is Saul Alinsky textbook, The Action is in the Reaction. This is them outsmarting Emory University, is what this is. He then added there would be a thorough review of Thursday's events and how they were handled. I'm happy to send them the emails that I got laying out what they were going to do. Maybe I'll read those later this week. Then it goes on to University of Georgia, where it says early in the morning, protesters began erecting tents and a barricade, blocking sidewalks and building entrances and using amplified sound. Amplified sound. Oh, my gosh. University of Georgia officials said campus regulations prohibit camping and disrupting university activities. And then another, after multiple warnings that protesters would be charged with trespassing, UGA stepped in and made arrests. Now, after multiple warnings, because what is your assignment if you are a smart organizer who wants to get drafted? It is you do not stop until they arrest you. There's glory in getting arrested. This is what Saul Alinsky wrote. Saul Alinsky, and you can see this model followed. This is why they bail them out and bring them back. The goal is to get arrested. If the police don't show up, you have failed. This is what I'm talking about. At a later rally in the day, police hadn't made any new arrests as of Monday, and that's probably a disappointment to some of these organizers. Then you go to Morehouse College. This is where it gets really interesting to me. Morehouse College. There were no protests at the Atlanta HBCU, but concerns continue to grow that President Joe Biden's commencement speech on May 9th will surely draw crowds of demonstrators. On Monday, a top Morehouse official told the AJC the college is not rescinding its invitation. So this is a story that actually happened last week, but they're making it a Monday story. And that's important for later, for here in a moment. That they're upset, which, by the way, if Joe Biden speaks at the Morehouse commencement, I can see a couple of things happening. One, it's a pre-recorded video speech because there's going to be protest. Two, they send him there and let him fail, kind of like they did in that one. Well, I can't remember what that one. What was that one thing, Ian, if you're still listening, that he did? What's up, Michael? Sorry, I'm caught up in the rant. I'm sorry. Good to see you. Michael says, why do we need representatives when we have technology that makes it easier to become a more direct representation? What do you mean by that? Do you trust the technology? And Michael says, in my opinion, the best way to protest wars is to recall the politicians that fund them. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I completely agree with that. Ian says, last week, NPR was talking about self-immolation being the ultimate form of weapon. I mean, that is crazy. That is absolutely crazy. Yeah, good organizers get their target to overreact. It's exactly what they do. Yeah. Okay, so I can't remember what the thing they let Joe Biden hang out to dry on was a few weeks ago. We covered it. It'll come back. Yeah, it'll come back to me, but they might just let him hang out to dry. And maybe they're trying to get somebody else in. I don't know. Or another possibility is they're going to completely stage the whole thing. They're only going to let certain people into the commencement, which we might hear about later on lesser news outlets that don't get as much attention, and they will stage the interruptions. I can see some staged interruptions happening and Biden responding with pre-planned comments that makes him look better, or an attempt to look better in the eyes of the pro-Palestine protesters going, which I don't know that most of the protesters would even recognize that, because they have to be told what is good and what's bad by their organizers. But that, I think, is going to be an interesting thing to watch, is Biden maybe speaking at HBCU. Can you imagine you go to an HBCU school, you go to Morehouse, where Martin Luther King Jr. graduated? That's your hero. And you're like, oh, I'm about to graduate. I've done all this hard work. And they're like, who's going to be our commencement speaker? Joe Biden? Oh, my gosh. Man, these kids got screwed. Then the article goes on. Didn't mean to deter. I question tech helps. I question all tech. It depends on what tech specifically. But, yeah, it's just, we live in a world where everything has to be questioned, and it drains our brains resources, but we got to do it. We got to be like Socrates in that, right? You know, Socrates has a lot of ways we don't need to be like, but the way he questions things is a good way to be. Georgia Southern, the article continues. It says, while protesters were indeed out at the Statesboro campus, the issue being spotlighted was not war, but to object to a recent series of moves made by the university's leaders that participants say erases the LGBT community. No students use the LGBT protest to promote other causes. That's actually a little bit of a surprise there. So that's the end of the article. What stands out to me about that article is what is omitted from that article. And what's omitted from that article, hey, Stella, is this. Here's what's omitted from that article. Is that there were also protests that went on at Kennesaw State University, which is north of Georgia. I'm going to put one of those up on screen. And these protests at Kennesaw State University, they were a lot like I described earlier in the show. These protests had no arrest. It was reported there was 150 or so students protesting for Palestine. Police were there, but they warned the students to follow the school's rules, but they did not intervene. Everybody went home. No rubber bullets, no knees on the neck, no arrest, no tasers. It was students expressing their First Amendment right, that right being respected by police, and everybody going home. No suspensions, nothing. This was how it's supposed to work. And yet, the AJC, in its overview of the protests going on around the state, don't mention the one that demonstrated everything America is supposed to be about. They pretended it didn't exist. Now, they might say, well, that didn't happen on Monday. That happened on Thursday. Well, their description of what happened at Emory was mostly about what happened last Thursday. They included Georgia Southern, which didn't even have any protest about Palestine, had some LGBT stuff. And then they talked about something that Joe Biden given a speech that was also a story from last Thursday. So that's really not a very good argument. But another reason that's not a good argument, which I found this on Reddit, on a Kennesaw State Reddit, is this. Kennesaw State has been, it's titled Encampment, and this is from 2 days ago. It says, I've seen a lot of universities, especially Emory, start having encampments for Gaza. I know that we have been protesting on campus for a while now. My question is, do you think we will have an encampment here? They've been protesting for Palestine on Kennesaw State's campus for a while, and they've gotten no media attention. What are the odds that they just decided to stop doing it last Thursday? I'd put a lot of money on there was protests going on Kennesaw State University's campus on Monday, yet the AJC, the media, leaves it out, leaves the only one out that demonstrates how America's supposed to work and includes only the ones that they can use to, if it bleeds, it leads, to cause conflict, to help build up whatever organizer is organizing those other ones. This is all about the organizing and the conflict. It's not about actually highlighting how America's supposed to work. Wouldn't you think that if they wanted to promote proper behavior and proper respect for the Constitution, that it would be stories like the ones at KSU that they highlight? I'll show you some of the pictures. It wasn't like it was a small protest. I mean, there was a lot of people there. Seating's might be a little bit small. It's not really good image quality there, but these are the Georgia State or Kennesaw State, excuse me, protest. You don't see any police pushing them back, no fighting. People, you know, if people disagreeing, everybody respecting each other. Why is that not the model of behavior the news is showing? Do we not hear them over and over again say, we're not going to say the name of the mass school shooter because we don't want to promote that behavior. We don't want anyone else to emulate that behavior. Well, then why aren't you showing this story more than you're showing all of the stories where the protests end in conflict by design? You should be showing stories like this. And if this one's happened that gets no media coverage, how many more of these are going on across the country that nobody's paying attention to? Probably more than the ones that end up in conflict, if I had to guess. The conflict is the rarity. They don't pay attention to the reality because they want to manifest the rarity and wipe out the reality, the respect. If they cared about modeling good behavior, this would be what we were hearing about. We would hear students, we would hear police, we would hear the authorities or the school administrators. There was professors protesting with these students. We would hear interviews of them all over the media, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, but we don't. You guys probably didn't even know that any of this happened because they don't cover it. Because they're full of shit. And this is why I don't like protest. Because they aren't actually for the issues. They're for the organizers to see who's the best, who's going to be the best new politicians. And they're for the other side of it to see who can scream, let's take away the First Amendment rights and expand the police state more. The people who lose are us. Until more people start recognizing that there are good versions of this going on across the country. And that's my rant on that. That's why I don't like protest, because it's divide and rule at its finest. Michael says, trust the tech. Maybe I don't trust whoever's doing the counting of the state. The state of Georgia has disqualified me from voting anyway, forcing me to self-legislate. I'm torn with tech. I think there's good uses of it and that there's foul uses of it. And for me, it's just when a new tech emerged, I try to learn as much about it as I can, as I'm capable of understanding, to see where some of the vulnerabilities of it are. But I do get what you're saying. If we have technology that can subvert that in a way that we feel that it can be protected from the hacking, then I think subverting politicians at this point, I don't know. We need a new way to select politicians. We need a new reward system. We need to reward what's good and not what's bad. We're rewarding what's bad right now. We're rewarding the dividers and conquerors, not the ones respecting each other. When the respect is out there. I just showed you a story of it. Yes, yes, it's morning for us, but yes, ranty pants tonight for sure, Stella. And I think that's all I'm going to do today. I just wanted to cover that issue. As I said, I am going to be tonight at 9:45 Eastern Standard Time, a guest with Tower Gang Jose on his podcast. It's going to be the No Way Jose podcast, so check it out. And on Thursday, we're going to be talking about a subject that I don't usually cover with a special guest, and going to be talking about their research, firsthand research, into Bigfoot, which is a nice change of pace. So you can find me at Freedom Act Radio on X, YouTube.com/Brad Binkley, Rockfin.com/Brad Binkley, Rumble.com/The Prop Report, and Patreon.com/The Propaganda Report if you want to support the show. Also, you can do one-time donations through PayPal. Hit me up on X if you want more information, details of that. My website is PropagandaFight.com. thank you guys for listening. Sorry if I didn't get to all the comments. I didn't want to lose track on my rant today on that, on all that, because I everybody has their opinions on what's going on. What's up, Steve? On Rockfin. Everybody, there's just a lot of back and forth going on about, and it is to be expected with these protests. But I think people are missing the bigger picture that it's not really about the issues with these protests. And in the end, I don't know how much it helps, especially when the people who are doing it right, like Kennesaw State University and those students, which, by the way, the students there didn't push it to the point of provoking police officers, probably because none of the agitators from these outside groups like Stop Cop City, they probably weren't sent there to make sure that those students do that. The students are only going to be following the rules as they are encouraged to if you have the outside agitators sent in. I guarantee you that's one of the main differences. This is a problem of these outside agitators, which is what it always is. Is it not always the outside agitators? I think it is. All right. Stella, you know what they say about opinions? What, they all have assholes? Is that... All right, I think I'll end on that. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for watching, and we will talk to you next time. Have a fantastic rest of your day.